Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable.
I'm so excited for this guest.
With me today is Chris Allen, school counselor at Northwest High School in Jeffco.
Cedar Hill.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly right. Cedar Hill, Missouri. Welcome, yeah. Chris.
Thank you.
I was going to introduce you as a guidance counselor, and you said, no, it's actually, I prefer school counselor. What is the difference?
Yeah, so the term guidance counselor is a bit antiquated as far as...
Are you calling me old?
You know, if the shoe fits. it's a whole thing. So, school counselor is the preferred, nomenclature these days. So,
because?
Well, guidance counselors back in the 50s and 60s, whenever it first became a profession, were really kind of more pointing you towards... guiding you towards career and college stuff.
Oh,
we're still doing that,
right?
But I think that school counseling encompasses a little bit more. We still have college and career services that we do, but we obviously do a little bit more than that these days, especially with mental health. I don't know if you've heard of that thing.
I have briefly.
Sort of an issue.
So. Right, kind of an issue.
Yeah.
I'm sure you all haven't been busy like these last couple of years, right?
Yeah, it's been interesting. It's been different. So,
So. Let's just lay it out there. You quit us. You used to work for us.
I can never fully quit you because I'm here, aren't I?
I mean, guess that's true. So you worked with Prevent Ed, aka NCADA, for what, 5 years?
Four is on the best years of my life, yeah. 13 to 17. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And you had been a counselor previous. Mm-hmm. And came to us, and you were a prevention educator.
I was. Yeah.
Busting your behind in schools, K through 12, doing the thing.
Yeah, and then y'all gave me a truck.
Talk to me about this truck. So what happened?
Yeah, we got a grant.
I mean, why did we trust you with the truck?
I don't know. I love that truck, and one day I hope to have it back.
Yeah, okay.
If it's ever for sale. So we got a grant through the Jefferson Memorial
Foundation.
Foundation,
yep.
And they're quite generous, and we were finding a need to have services in the Jefferson County area in particular. But as we know, in the more rural areas, transportation is an issue. So the thought of Jenny Armbruster, Nicole, and a lot of smart people at NCADA, Prevent Ed, was to create a grant for funding to buy a truck and a mobile unit to be housed or to be driven out in the Jefferson County area to make services more accessible to students.
Because we were seeing, because we had a new program mm-hmm. that for some insane reason we entrusted you to lead.
Yeah.
Where it was an early intervention program for teens. It was called TCP. Now it's called Guided. Same program.
Much better name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we couldn't think of it. Do you remember how long it took us? And then you came up with some really lame names.
Yeah, I liked them though.
And the idea was, a teenager gets caught coming drunk to a school dance or smokes some weed in the bathroom or something. They don't need treatment. They don't need the juvenile justice system, but they need something.
Yeah.
Usually assistant principals are like, what do I do? So
right.
We were a support for them.
A lot of times providing assessments and helping the families find services and locate them into treatment. And where we kind of filled the niche was that we weren't kind of that bias trying to force them into one thing or another based upon funding. We were really trying to benefit the family in a way that finding them what they actually needed and really referring them to services. Because one thing on the side of where I am now as a school counselor, it's very daunting for a family or a school to know what's even out there. We get so immersed in what we're doing on a day in and day out basis. And it's hard to locate services and know what is available to you and what might be the best avenue for a family.
Especially if you're in an area like Jefferson County.
Yeah.
Right. And so we were seeing families take the hike, up to 70, fighting traffic at
right.
6 o'clock at night
right.
to have this service. And you, I think, said, we got to bring it. We got to bring it to Jeffco.
Yeah, bring it to the people, right?
So born and raised Jefferson County?
Yeah, yeah. I've lived out there my whole life. So
why? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I love, I love it too.
I like the Big River. It's really nice. Mm-hmm, yeah, I like the kayak and stuff. And there's a lot of nice parks out there. Browns Ford Access is really nice out there. Merrill Horse, but yeah, it's people give Jefferson County a knock, but it's really nice out there. So
we had all these families utilizing the service, so we brought it to them. Does that mean that you know, substance use is a bigger problem in Jefferson County than other places? Is mental health a bigger problem in other?
No, I've worked in public schools. I've worked in private. I've worked in nonprofits. We were just talking, and there's a podcast that went on before me about mental health and the trades. Mm. Whether you're in the trades or whether you're a young person or old person, mental health, substance use impacts everybody. And as we know, in mental health and substance use, it's a ripple effect. So it not only impacts that person, but it impacts maybe that person, that kid who is coming to school that day. Maybe mom or dad were heavily using narcotics or alcohol that evening, and they may have done something to that young man or young woman that created trauma in their life, and that's creating anxiety or depression. So it's a vicious cycle, and I think we all have a part to play in addressing that and helping to somewhat dive into the issue and address it. So.
And you've done a lot to address it. You're not going to brag on yourself, so I'm going to brag on you. You've brought a lot of services to the school district that you're in right now. You are a vocal champion of a lot of programs, not just prevent ed, you know, peer programs and things like that. It's complicated, teen mental health first aid. But you're also, I mean, you are a voice. And I think sometimes in more rural communities, there is a feeling that like we can kind of deal with it ourselves, mm-hmm. right? And you are not afraid to call in some reinforcements.
Right. And I think that barrier is breaking down, honestly. I think school districts—
Because of people like you, my friend.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are vocal and a lot of people who want what's best for their community. And it used to be, you know, we'll deal with it at our own small level. But I think right now more than ever, I think people are pleading for help, no matter where it comes from. I mean—
We're
in desperation mode. You know, we have so many kids and need so many services, and we can't keep up. I mean, we release counseling every year, and counseling liaisons and partnerships with outside agencies, and they fill up like that. And then we have families come to us. What do we do? Well, there's a waiting list, you know, and, you know, it's if can you say psychiatrist? You can't find one.
No.
6 to 8 month wait. It's unreal. So any services, whether it be Prevent Ed or other agencies, those services are welcome, and people are thirsty for them. So,
have you always wanted to be a counselor? I mean, when I first met you, I thought you were like a used car salesman. I mean, has it always been counseling for you?
I think part of counseling is sales. Actually, a former employee that of Prevent Ed, I had talked to her about this. And
I love you so much, by the way. I love that I can give you crap.
Well, you
just
know,
roll
I
with
give it,
it
right back.
Yes, you do.
But no, I think part of you, you know, whenever you know you're in counseling, you're selling ideas to somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a weird way, you're selling life. You know, I have students that come to me that don't want to live, and you have to sell them on the idea of getting services and getting help and helping them realize that, hey, this is not the end. This is a beginning for you to, you know, I'm proud of you for asking for help. I'm proud of you for the next step you're about to take, and selling them the idea that it can get better. There's some car salesman in it, but no, I didn't always want to be a counselor. I wanted to be some corporate asshole, but I decided I didn't want to make money. I just wanted to be.
You chose a life of poverty.
I did. No,
because you
no.
went to SEMO, right?
Go Red Hawks. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you went to SEMO, and you did like
corporate communications.
I was gonna say communications. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. And but then you got into some peer health training or something, right?
I did. I became
Man, steel trap. Steel trap.
Man, you are. Remember when I called you old? I retract that statement.
Thank you. Thank you.
So no, I got into I was an RA, so a resident advisor mm-hmm. down there, and I found out that helping people is pretty neat. So there was a whole situation where there was a graduate assistantship. A liaison between the counseling department and residence life. And I took that opportunity. And
which is such a cool.
They were going to give me a free master's degree, so I decided to do that. And I had to find something to do. So
yeah, right.
I was like, what can I do that I can just listen and talk? You know, and I was like, you know what? Counseling might be a good fit for me. So, no, I enjoyed it. I wanted to do something where I felt like I was making some sort of a difference. So.
And your wife, Melissa, your better half.
Yeah, Dr. Allen.
Dr. Allen.
Dr. Melissa Allen. Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I have a doctor wife in my phone. Yeah.
Clearly, you are winning. She is losing in this situation.
Absolutely.
So she is a doctor, right? And she is
not
also.
Not the one that makes money, though.
Right. Right. Yeah. Also the one who has chosen a life of poverty. And she is also an educator, does curricula, right?
So she's sort of. She's the dean. It's a fancy word for assistant principal.
Well, like, so. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's a good memory though. She wanted to do curriculum, but she just she's gotten a position recently at a private school here in St. Louis. So.
And she is an author. Didn't she write a
she's
book?
Working
or
on,
she was
she's working,
working
on a
on
book.
It?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So I bet the conversations at your house must be just like super uplifting and positive, right?
We go home at night and turn on Big Brother or something and just vibe out. So yeah. No, it's a lot because you know during the day it's so heavy and fast paced. I think sometimes we just need that time just to decompress. So we honestly sometimes don't talk a lot about deeper stuff that happened during the day because I think sometimes we just need that time just to. Veg.
Yeah, totally. So Northwest and I would say Jefferson County also included in that were quicker to come back to normal or whatever the heck that is after COVID, right? Mm-hmm. It certainly doesn't mean that your school or your students have not faced their fair share of challenges. So have you seen different challenges since COVID? More deeper, more entrenched stuff. I mean,
yes and no, a little bit. I mean, I think it was it's always been high, but I mean, I think anxiety is more rampant than ever. Anxiety is something I'm seeing over and over and over again. And
I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to. Your school has what I think is really great structure of you follow your students every year.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So if they're freshmen, then you follow them when they're sophomores and so on and so forth.
Right. We help, get them to graduation and we get to know the student and the family. That way they're not passed on to a different counselor or principal every year.
I think that's genius.
Yeah,
okay. I think every school should do that. But so anxiety you're seeing more of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anxiety. And then that feeds into substance use. You know, one thing I'm seeing a lot more of is cannabis use. It's rampant. And, I just had seniors a couple of years ago and I will tell you, this is kind of anecdotal, but there are seniors that probably didn't graduate high school because they got so immersed in using cannabis and that became their sole focus and their world, and they chose that over graduation. I mean, we were bending over backwards to help them, and unfortunately, they were heavy enough users that they weren't able to even function. So.
Mm. Yeah. And what about things like depression and suicide? I mean, you've touched upon that a little bit.
Yeah, I was sitting in the waiting room. I got a call, a student after school, came. And that's what the beauty of being a school counselor at the high school level. There's multiple people on our team. The student came in after school and the other counselor was able to address it and had to call home after school. A friend came about another student who was possibly having thoughts of suicide. And that school counselor called home and addressed that. And we're getting them resources. And the number one thing I do want to say, if anybody listens to any point that I have to say in this whole podcast, I'm hoping you're listening at this point.
They've all tuned out. So
to a school counselor from Jefferson County. If you've made it this far, congratulations. The biggest thing about teenagers in general is that they help each other out. And there are people who are alive today because of other students. We wouldn't be able to do it without them. They're the eyes and the ears, and that's why it's important to have the team mental first aid and to have that idea of, hey, you know what? If something's going on, I can go to a trusted adult, and they can help me out because otherwise there were, peers trust peers. They're not going to come to us right away. And, at the end of the day, I think we have people that are looking out for people, not only in education but in a lot of different fields. So, this is Pollyanna of me, and, this is something that, people are good, and I do believe that. We really focus on the negative a lot of times, and I think there's just as many positive people who are making great choices than there are negative people who are making poor choices. So,
well, you always sound like a country song, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But In all seriousness.
My school calls me a fortune cookie. I always say these.
These little criticisms. That,
yes.
Yeah.
Quips.
But here's what I would like to say. First thing, you mentioned teen mental health first aid. Mm-hmm. A couple years back, we received a pilot. We got a little bit of money to implement the pilot program at a local school. We mm-hmm. reached out to you. I don't even think you asked permission. You just said, we're doing it.
I sort of did, yeah.
And essentially what that program in a nutshell is that it really does utilize the power of peers. Mm-hmm. So you train basically a whole grade level of teenagers and some adult gatekeepers to then be the eyes and ears, mm-hmm. right? And we've gotten some really great results, and your school has been gangbusters in that program.
Yeah.
So thank you for being an early adopter.
Yeah, well, it takes the whole school to be on board. And our English department actually is adopted as a part of their curriculum their junior year. Because the hardest part about—
It's just crazy, Chris, what you just said. Like, that is nuts. That the English department has adopted it as part of their curricula.
Yeah, they allow us to come in and spend 6 days in there. So,
but the other thing that you said that I think is just really critical, and you can call it Pollyanna or the fortune cookie or whatever, you believe in teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You did that when you were a counselor with Prevent Ed. And I don't know about you, but I get so sick of people saying, teenagers these days and social media and blah, 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 blah. Like, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
There are some out there that are, yeah. I'll,
sure.
Sure, yeah.
But teenagers are awesome.
Yeah.
And they're funny, right? And they challenge you. And
if we don't believe in them, we don't believe in our future. I mean, because we have to create something. So
I mean, you would come out of sessions with the young people who had maybe made some missteps.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you would get down sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see your shoulders just kind of like fall in, like you had the crestfallen look on your face. But more often than not, you were energized, you were laughing, you were feeling hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that when I was a counselor, like when I was in school.
Yeah.
I didn't have that.
Yeah.
So how do you keep that sense about you?
Support. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's good to have a supportive partner.
Dr.
Melissa Allen, and also supportive colleagues. I swear on you that I would never have been able to do what I do without the support of the agency. I mean, it is a family. It's a team. There's no I in it, honestly. We all support one another. And at the end of the day, you know, being at Northwest now, I have a team around me.
Yep.
At NCAD, I had a team around me. I'm only as good as my team. And, you know, I'm big in analogies in sports. I mean, that's why championship teams are created, whether it be the Blues or the Cardinals, right? You know, it's a team. It's not an I thing, you know. And when you're dealing with heavy stuff in counseling, you need people around you who are going to say, you know, because I wasn't, you know, like you said, I came out of some sessions sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we support each other. We lift each other up. There are moments where I am crestfallen and sad and like feel like there's no hope, but whenever I'm in those moments, there's somebody there to pick me up. So I'm a huge believer in the people. I tell the kids this: the people you surround yourself will become who you are. Your friends, your family, your colleagues, you know, you have to surround yourself with good people to be successful. And I would not be half the man or half the person I am without, you know, the support of my church growing up, the support of my family, the support of my colleagues I've worked with, you know. So
are you still a Knights of Columbus?
Yeah, I haven't been active with them. Yeah.
Shame.
I am a third degree knight, but I haven't really been involved in that. So
I'm sorry. Yeah. What?
What?
A third degree knight?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Do you have like a pin or like a sword or something hat?
Yeah, there's like a ceremony you go through and everything like that. But
what does that mean?
The Knights of Columbus is a great agency. They support the community in a lot of efforts.
No, totally. So, yeah.
They run the bingo out in Jefferson County Friday nights.
We still need to do that. That, I told you, that was one of my first jobs, was running food at the bingo hall in House Springs.
Yeah.
And Knights of Columbus is associated with the Catholic Church, right?
Yes.
And it's a men's service organization.
Yeah, and there's a ladies' auxiliary.
Mm-hmm. They do, like, quilting, and, like, if somebody has a loss, they, like, provide support.
I mean, they do
right?
different things in different churches. But
yeah. Yeah. Oh. A third degree knight.
Yeah.
So Sir Alan, can I call you that?
No, that's, yeah. I don't think that's quite the concept.
So what is next for you, Chris?
What's next
besides
for me?
Meeting me for bingo very soon?
Children. I mean, I had my first child 2 years ago.
He's so cute.
Yeah. That is the biggest life changer I feel like anybody can ever have. I mean, it's just been amazing. Yeah, so that's what's next. I mean, I'm putting a lot of my time and energy into my family, into
just
my
watching
child.
Him grow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a blast. So,
I am so grateful for you to come fight the traffic, get up here.
Yeah. I don't miss the commute at all.
I know. Yeah. That was your least favorite part.
Yeah.
I know. What's your commute now? Like 8 minutes round trip or something?
I think Prevent Ed needs a helicopter services.
Yes.
We need to have
if you're listening, sponsors.
We need to have a
we have no sponsors, but I'm pretending.
We need to have a helipad on the Prevent Ed offices.
See, now you know why Brad and Clay, I'm breaking the fourth wall here, but now you know why at one point I tried to hire you on as our development director.
Oh, they're not supposed to be over here? I've been looking at
right. That's okay. We've broken the fourth wall a couple of times on this one. And scene. I really appreciate you. Yeah. Please tell your doctor wife that I said hello.
Yeah.
And if you liked this conversation with Chris, if you found it at all inspiring or comical in any way, please consider rating, reviewing, and subscribing.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by Prevent Ed. Prevent Ed works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at prevented.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.